welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Though we have so many absent for various reasons, illness and traveling, and so you who are here, we're very appreciative. So we say thank you for your attendance. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, that's my brethren to kind of look around. If you didn't get a bulletin, kind of share, or you're welcome to go back and get one. Take mine, brother. All right. The text that was read to us just gives us into the lesson this morning. I'm not going to preach on those that were healed and only one came back and said thank you, but I want to retell that story a little bit just to key on the word both. In this story that happened in verse 12 of Luke 17, there met him, meaning Jesus, 10 men who were lepers. 10 who were lepers. So they all had this same horrible disease. This particular disease of leprosy, as you probably are well aware of, it made them unclean. And they were isolated from society. And it filled them with despair, and they knew there isn't any remedy for our leprosy. So all 10 of them cried for mercy. In verse 13, they cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," all 10 of us. And they all received mercy, all 10. In verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. But in verse 15, it says, and one of them. Now, 10 had the leprosy. 10 were cleansed. And one of them returned, giving him thanks. Wow, one. Only one expressed the gratitude. There was only one voice that was the voice of praise. And it says in verse 15 in Luke 17, with a loud voice glorified God. And he gave thanks. One. So in verse 17, Jesus asked a question. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? You see, these nine did not return to say thank you. They were nearer to Jesus in their affliction than they were in their health. They prayed to Jesus when they were in distress, but they were silent when they should have been giving thanks. 10. And then the one came back to say thank you. Jesus obviously noticed, where are the nine? Nine. I remember the story of a man who was on a ship in the midst of a terrible storm. To this man who was on the ship, it seemed like the wind and the waves were having the victory. He thought for sure the boat's going to capsize and he's going to be lost. So he fell to his knees and he said, "Lord, I haven't been a praying man. I haven't talked to you in 30 years. However, Lord, if you'll hear me this one time, get me safely to shore, I promise not to bother you for another 30 years. Yeah. That sometimes is the way we live our life. We only pray when we're in distress. But that's the lesson. Jesus said, where are the nine? You called on me in distress. Why can't you come back and call on me in praise and say thank you? And that's the way we live our lives. Many people do. Lord, I'm in distress. Help me, help me. The Bible puts ingratitude, unthankfulness, in a rather ugly light. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Hear what Paul said. He said, this know also. There's something he wants you to be aware of. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. All right, what are perilous times? I wonder what they look like. Paul describes it in the verse, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. He says, in these perilous times, Men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful? He said, these perilous times will come. He said, perilous, unthankful. Oh. And then he continues, these perilous times, will people will be unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power. And he says, from such people turn away. Now you look at that list, I wouldn't associate with anybody that acted like that. But right in the middle is unthankful. We look with horror at all the other descriptions in that list. But unthankful? That's associated with being unholy, unforgiving, haughty, headstrong, unthankful. That's included. I just didn't say thank you. Yeah. You know, we as parents and grandparents, when our children receive something, and if they're not very quick to say thank you, we're quick to remind them. What do you say? Remember those magic words. We want to be sure that we teach our children to be thankful. Sometimes we might wonder, after having received something or someone done a good favor to us, I don't remember if I said thank you. But now it's been a year or two past. Oh, it's never too late to say thank you. Even after the months and the years, because that person may remember, you never said thank you. But now here it is, all that later time. Oh, you remembered that you didn't say thank you? And not saying it? Well, bless you. Bless you. Remember, it's not thanks thinking. Oh, I thought I gave thanks. It's not thanks wishing. It's thanks giving. Give thanks. Give thanks. A lot of admonitions in the Bible to remind us to give thanks, and that's your notes today. To think along these lines about God's blessings. Why would I want to give thanks to God? And I've listed several things in your notes. Number one, in Psalm 92, beginning of verse 1, Psalmist said, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Well, it's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, remind our children, don't forget to say thank you. That's a good thing. But now I want to give thanks to the Lord. Good thing. If something is good, it means it conforms to a high standard of morality or virtue. By definition, if something's good, it's honorable. It's decent, upright, virtuous, proper. It's an expression of thankfulness. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Then the verse continues. After it says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to his name, to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. You ever think, what do I have to thank God for? Oh, his loving kindness, his faithfulness. Yeah. We sang a song before our Bible class this morning, hymn number 83. The title of the song, God is So Good. And then the song begins, you know, God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. The second stanza is, he answers prayer, he's so good to me. And then the third stanza, he cares for me, he's so good to me. So why is it a good thing to give thanks to God? He's so good to me. He's so good. I just sometimes wonder, what is it going to take to convince people to thank God? Thank you, God. Thank you. Number two, in Psalm 30, verse 4, says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Just thinking about God should almost lift our heads up and say, thank you, God, for who you are. Give thanks for his holy name. I remember the story, and I've told this before, but I haven't seen this truck in a while, but going north on 805 out of Chula Vista and close to Market Street, on occasionally I would see this semi truck and trailer on the overpass, and on the message print on the side of this trailer, of this truck and trailer, where was the words, Jesus Christ is Lord, and not a curse word. That's right. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Sometimes people only remember Jesus or God in curse words. Psalmist said in Psalm 111, verse 9, he sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend, and some translations use the word awesome, but holy and reverend is his name. Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 9, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, they saw him praying, and they knew John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, so they came to Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. So Jesus said, after this manner, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Next phrase. God in heaven, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Reverend be your name. Awesome is your name. Your name's not a curse word. Give thanks at the remembrance of his name. Thank you, God, for your holiness. All those other wonderful attributes that you have, thank you for being you. And thank you for your care for your people. Thank you. So it's a good thing to give thanks. And to give thanks at the remembrance of his name. Number three is in Psalm 119, verse 62. It says, at midnight, I'll rise to give thanks to you. Because of your righteous judgments. Right, there's another reason to give thanks to God. It's interesting, it says at midnight. Now that suggests the deepest darkness, not the time on the clock. Now, you don't have to set your clocks and have the alarm ring for midnight and get up and say, thank you, God. But at midnight it's when we're in the depths of despair. If it's midnight, it means I'm kind of down and out. At midnight, you know, it's when things look gloomy in my life. It's when I don't understand the reason for my adversaries. I don't really understand the sadness I feel. And many of us are at midnight. You listen to those announcements. There's people that are in sorrow. There's people that are, some are discouraged. Some are physically ill. Lonely? Yeah. Fearful? Yeah. And the challenge is to see that God is still righteous. That's the verse. Even when I'm in despair, at midnight, when things are dark and gloomy in my life, and I can't fix it, I'll rise and give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. One of my favorite stories. My father-in-law, Christine's dad, Daryl, told this story before he died. He died about 15 years ago. But he says he would always go to bed early. So about midnight, he'd have to get up and use the restroom. So he said, Brian, I got up last night, used the restroom. When I came up, Wilma, his wife, Christine's mom, was up, had turned the light on and was making up the bed. Wilma had severe Alzheimer's illness. So I said, well, Daryl, what'd you do? He said, well, I just put on a smile. I walked over and finished helping her make the bed. We went into the living room and sat on the sofa and pulled the Afghan over us. And I just thank God for all the good years of marriage, 62 years. Yeah, Daryl, you really did get up at midnight and say thank you. But it's when we have those gloomy hours. There's a time that we don't understand a situation. There's not an explanation we can give. But we still thank you, God. Thank you. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good. We know that. We should know that. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm not thankful for the midnight, for dark and gloomy. I'm thankful that God is there to get me through the night. I'm thankful that God provides a silver lining in the cloud. Thankful God gives me hope. I'm thankful that God will provide a way for me to get through this. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I go through the valley. Yeah, the valley. The shadow, death. I'm not going to fear any evil. Psalmist said, you ask why? Because thou art with me. You're with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So thankful, God. I'm thankful even at midnight for your righteous judgments, for your word, your message of hope. Thank you. Number four is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. This is what we call the resurrection chapter because Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives so many reasons for our faith, and in particular, the resurrection of Jesus. And then at the very end, in verse 57, he says, so thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so because of the final victory that's ours, because we have this hope of eternal life, you say, thank you, thank you. Because God, you provided something I couldn't provide for myself. God, you provided something for me that I needed. Meaning forgiveness of sins and salvation and hope of eternal life. I can't come up with a plan that would be satisfactory to God to have my sins forgiven. So God provided a way. Thank you. Thank you. And then in verse 58, the next one. So Paul says, therefore, meaning based upon this resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus who gives us the victory, says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Number five. And you know, it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks. Wow, everything? I can think of some difficult situations that it's difficult to give thanks. Paul said, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. For all things? For everything? I have a book in my library, you might know of it, The Hiding Place, by Corrie ten Boom. She and her sister, they were in a prison concentration camp in Germany during World War II. And so they were in this barracks of women, and they'd been had a New Testament that they'd been hiding and were successfully keeping it in their possession. So on one chapter, it's called Thank God for the Fleas. Page 180 of the book. And Betsy, her sister, says, Corey, fleas! The place is swarming with fleas. And they say, oh, here's another one. And they said, how can we live in such a place? And they said, show us, show us. And so Corey said, no, God has given us the answer. Said before we ask, he always does. Remember in the Bible this morning, where was it? She said, read that part again. And it was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. And it says in the verse 15, he'll comfort the frightened. He'll help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Seek to do good. And then says, and Betsy says, go on, go on. That wasn't all. And said, oh, and love one another, rejoice always, pray constantly, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And Betsy said, that's it, Corey. That's the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. And we can start it right now. We're in the barracks of a German concentration camp in World War II. Well, they said, let's thank God for everything about this barracks. Well, they started. Next page. Such as being assigned here. Huh? Yeah, we're together, aren't we? Let's thank God that we're not separated. But you're in a barracks. You're in a concentration camp. Oh, but let's thank God that we're together. Second. Such as what you're holding in your hands. So I looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there's no inspection when we enter here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you through the pages of this book, through the Bible. Thank you. Yes, and Betsy said, and thank you for being very crowded here. Since we're packed so close, many more will hear. Oh, yeah, that's right, that too. And they went on, says, and thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas. Said, for the fleas? Yeah, for the fleas. And the other one said, no way, I'm not thanking God for the fleas. I can't be grateful for a flea. Well, wait, the Bible said give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks in pleasant circumstances. So as we stood between the piers of bunks, we gave thanks for the fleas. And then the reason why, as the story continues, because of the fleas, the guards didn't come around so often. They didn't inspect the barracks that often because of that. Corey and Betsy, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that we're together. You're in a barracks. I'm thankful for this book that we're holding in our hands. I'm thankful for the crowd of women. I'm thankful for the fleas. For the fleas. What's going on in your life? Don't be thankful. When I was teaching school, elementary school, I had a sign in my classroom door, special ed. I had a couple, two assistants, paralegals, or not legal, paraeducators in my classroom, aides. Put a sign by the door. I said, when you can't change the circumstances, change your attitude. That wasn't for the students, for my aides. Because we couldn't change the circumstances. So I wanted to be sure they knew when we can't change the circumstances, you change your attitude. Remember when Jesus was in the garden? God, can you change the circumstances? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, it was possible, but God didn't. God answered the prayer of his son. You think God's going to give the son's request exactly as he asked it? So that here's the father's son. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. God said, oh, it's possible, but it's not going to happen. But I'll send my angel to strengthen you. Had to go through with it, didn't he? Can't change the circumstance. See, there's some things in your life and mine that I can't change. Might be the job you have. I can't change jobs right now. I can't change an illness. I can't change it, no matter how hard and long I pray. So when you can't change the circumstance, and we see that plaque on kitchen walls all the time, prayer changes things. But what's going to happen when prayer doesn't change the thing? What are you going to do then? Then prayer changes you. Put another plaque aside. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes me. You can't change the circumstance. You change your attitude. In everything, give thanks. The last one I had, number 6, is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank you, God. It's in John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, God. That's an indescribable gift. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So God laid down a life for us. Wow, what kind of words can we use to describe that? We sing a song, Dennis many times will lead it. It's in 376. The song is titled, He Paid a Debt. Thank you, God. He paid a debt he did not owe. Thank you. I owed a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. So now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Yeah, thank you. An indescribable gift. We try to put it into words. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And he did for us what we needed. Forgiveness of sins. Salvation. The hope of eternal life. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing this song. Or a song like it. Number 375. But it's a song of invitation. It's a song or a hymn of encouragement. To move us to obedience, to say thank you to God, not only with our words, but with our life. Jesus said in John 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord? Do not the things I say. So now it's time, if you haven't done so already, to do those things that he says. When Jesus, his last words before he ascended back to the Father, in Matthew 28, beginning verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. So here's the supreme objective. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the authority, the heavenly authority. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel to every creature or the whole world. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's a salvation message we extend at the close of every lesson. He that doesn't believe is condemned. So if you have not done so already, you have that opportunity. We sing this song to give you time to reflect on that relationship that you have with God. If that's your resolve, that's your desire, just simply let it be known at the close of this song. So let's stand and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. And if you need to respond in a public way, please do so at the close of this.